It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse of that chapter. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I hope that that was enough time for you to look to the Word of God, because it's so important that we find the Word of God, the truth, read it, study it, and enjoy it. So please now open your Bibles to Exodus 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye come out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day come ye out in the month of Abib. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. In the seventh day shall be a feast of the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because that which the Lord did unto me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstlings that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The males shall be the Lord's. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in a time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token unto thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. We're going to stop right there at the 16th verse, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this study. Please that you will show us your way and will. Show us very carefully and prayerfully the truth, dear Lord, that we may know it, understand it, enjoy it. Please, dear Lord, that we'll know the way of salvation, which is by grace only and not by any tied works. There's no special power or strength in anything that we do. It is by your grace and by us coming by faith. It has nothing to do with us coming to a physical baptism. It has nothing to do with some work that we can do. It's when your spirit convicts our heart and we turn to you, salvation comes into our heart. And, dear Father, we know the Spirit comes to live within us eternally. Please, dear God, guide and lead us now through your word and show us your way and will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to look to the word of God and to enjoy it. Please that you begin here. We're having the children of Israel to leave the land of Egypt. They have been told to get out, and we had the numbers of 600,000 footmen last time we were together, and then we had the mixed multitudes. We dwelt on a little bit what the problem with the mixed multitude, what kind of problems that brings, and I hope you take that to heart. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that you will not consider to marry someone that is not a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're to that age or that position that you're about to marry, please, that you will not do that. And we shouldn't even, you know, be in business together for two to own the business. A believer should not be unequally yoked. And here, why we have these this mixed multitude that were half Jew, half Egyptian. They didn't know whether to stay home. They didn't know whether to come. And we'll find through the time here that they do cause a lot of trouble. And so we don't need a lot of help to get into trouble, do we? And so this kind of just joined in and made it all the worse. We find as we come down through the Passover, the keeping of the Passover, and as we find now in verse 50 and 51, thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And as we look at the place where they have moved to, they have sojourned out of Egypt, and they're heading for the promised land of Israel. And as we look at this location here, you know, they lived in the land of Goshen. Ramses was the name of the place, and they're on their way to Succoth, and that's where we're heading for. And then on south of there is Etham, which is where most believe that they probably crossed the Red Sea at that place. There's a reason why he brought them down that far and didn't just go straight across from there at an earlier time, and we'll talk about that later, why that they took the voyage and the steps that they took. And now we look at this beginning here. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatever children, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast. And so that's the first words that we have here as we begin to look at these words in this section. You know, judgment is come. And it's so simple and so interesting to see this, and I don't want you to miss it. When God calls you, when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, calls you, and you respond and come to Him, you have just passed from death unto life. Now, we have a perfect picture here, a very clear, perfect picture of what happens when you reject the Word of God and the way of God. Because, you see, the Egyptians rejected the Word of God. And upon the Egyptians rejecting the Word of God, they died. Multitudes died, and the firstborn of everything died. The firstborn of the people, the firstborn of the animals, everything that was firstborn died. Well, that's what happens, you see, when we reject. You know, we look here at a beautiful picture how that Egypt, in going, you know, they were mad, and we're going to find pretty shortly they even pursue them, but they were mad at this very deed that they have done in dismissing and releasing the Israelites. And we find out when they're mad, that's the greatest deed they had ever done, was doing the will of God. God said, let my people go. Well, they had to great multitude had to die. They had to face all the plagues before they would listen unto the word of God and listen to Moses and be obedient and let him go. That was the best thing they ever did, was to do that. And we find as we continue through this voyage and this trip that Israel is going to become murmurers and complainers and everything. And again, we talked about the mixed multitude as part of that problem. But as Israel begins to take this step and leave Egypt, it's one of the greatest showings of kindness that God ever did to any people anywhere. The greatest kindness, of course, is allowing His Son and sending His Son to die for our sin. But isn't it something, Hal, that we have both sides here where Israel's the greatest kindness that was ever done to them? Egypt did the best deed they had ever done in their life, yet they were angry, and we even find Israel kind of forgets how great this opportunity is that they have as they are leaving this forsaken land, the land of the world, in Egypt, and beginning this walk that they have. Now, we look at the firstborn. God calls to these people, "Sanctify unto me all firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it's mine." God's taking claim to the firstborn. And so, you know, you wonder if the Israelites, you know, maybe you and I would do the same thing. But all of a sudden, he says, "Listen, I have just been set free from bondage. I've just been released out of bondage in Egypt, and now you want my firstborn?" Yes, he does. It's the same thing with you and I. You know, when God releases us from our sin and our bondage, He immediately calls for us to give to Him our best, our first, not our last. When we give our tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord, where does it come? What part of your life, what part of your budget does that come from? Does it come with a connection that's all I have left, and so that's what I'm going to give Him? Or does it come out first? You think about that. God demands and God requests and God calls us to give our best, our first, not our last, not our second best, not something that's left over. He wants the best. That's what He wants. And you know, it's something I've talked about this and said this for years. You know, a lot of times people will donate things to the church. They'll buy a new stove or a new refrigerator or a new vehicle. They'll buy something like that, and there's something that's a need that the church has, and so they donate the old stuff to the church. Well, why is it good enough for the church, but it wasn't good enough for you? Should you even be replacing it if you're to that place? And the next question I always ask, and that is, you know, if you're going to give it, why not give the new to the church and you keep the old? If it's good enough to give to the church, then surely it's good enough for you, because you think it's good enough for the Lord. You think about that. You know, we're always giving God our seconds. We're always giving God what's left over instead of giving Him the first. Well, God claims the first. Well, you know, He claimed the firstborn of Egypt too, didn't He? Yes, He did. But because they have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they rejected the call of God, and there they could have followed the words that were put in here, as far as put the blood on the doorpost and across the doorpost on the lintels and the doorpost, as it was called to do that, to slaughter that lamb. The lamb had to die. The blood had to be applied. If the Egyptian would have followed that, that death angel would have went right over the top. He would not have stopped there, and death wouldn't have come in. But you see, they chose not to listen to the word of God. And when we choose not to listen to the truth, the word of God, death will come It's right at your door right now, and it's not long that it's going to claim what it's come after. It's going to take you, and you're going to die. And that's the only choice you have. We have a beautiful example of those that listen to the Word of God. They're firstborn. They've been able to now offer unto the Lord, to give unto the Lord, whether it's the firstborn of the children of the beasts. The firstborn of Egypt, dead. All animals, man, everything died, is dead. Now that's the choice that you have. You have a very similar choice today, whether you come by faith to Jesus Christ or whether you reject Jesus Christ. It means the difference of life and death. Israel saw life. Their firstborn was untouched. Their firstborn beasts were untouched. Now God says, I've given them life. Give them to me. And that's what he's asked for. And then it begins here in the third verse and says, Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Again, we have talked about in the past, leaven stands for sin. And so God said, I want the house clean. And particularly during this celebration, this feast of the Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, there is to be no leaven anywhere, not in the bread, not on the in the cabinet, not in the house. It's to be cleaned out. And when you do this, when you remember this, we have left Egypt. Salvation has been ours. The firstborn has been able to live because of the hand of God. The strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. Remember that. And this part here, this with the unleavened bread, again, leaven always speaks of sin. You know, we need to look at this picture as we continue to, who set Israel free? Who set Israel free? God did. The hand of God set Israel free. God has every right to the first. You know, who sets us free? God does. What was the price that was paid for us? The blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ himself died. Why would we ever hold anything back other than the best to give unto our God for what he has done for us? Israel was set free the same way, only it was just a picture. Because it was many years to come. It was 1,500 years yet before Jesus Christ would be finally nailed on that cross and lifted up and die. It'd be that long, but it didn't matter because these people were saved the same way, saved by the blood of the Lamb. That Lamb was put to death, and that blood was applied, and that's exactly what happens to us the day we meet Jesus Christ and we follow after him. And so please, don't miss the picture of the lost and the saved. Don't miss the point made here, how that we should always give him our first. And, you know, we owe God a great debt, a debt that we're not capable of paying for saving us, any born-again believer. Israel owes God an equal debt as they have been delivered out of slavery. You know, please, if you want the blessings of God, begin to give your best and your first unto him. This is something that Israel is never to forget, and it's said it here a couple of times. Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. The day and the date was set. It shall be when the Lord shall bring these into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. And so it appears that it wasn't something that was to be kept until they got to the promised land. It's something that they were to do then, and we know if you've read ahead, you realize it's going to be 40 years before they get there. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, and in that seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall thee be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. Well, we just said, not in the cupboard, not in the house, not in the bread, nowhere should it be found. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did to me when I came forth out of Egypt. God has separated us from the world. God has separated us from sin. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity that these Israelites have. And you know, my friend, you got the same opportunity. If you'd come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got that same opportunity of salvation. Please, that you would come today. Please don't choose death. And by you not making a choice, you have chosen death. Please choose life, and that can be found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, you're to do this. You're to teach this. Every time that we have this feast and your son or your daughter asks you about it, you sit down and you tell them. You sit down and you teach them. You know, it's so important. The family, we have given the responsibility of teaching our children the things of God. We've given that responsibility to the pastor, to the Sunday school teacher, sometimes maybe even to the Christian school. If you send your children to a Christian school, maybe that's where that responsibility you have cast it off from yourself and you have placed it upon these other people. Well, it's their responsibility, yes, but not as great as it is for you. You as the father, the leader, the head of your family, it's not your wife's responsibility. She can sure help you to teach the children, but it is your responsibility, husbands, fathers. It's your responsibility to teach the Word of God. And when this question would come from a son to a father, father, you be ready to answer. And you know, it's important that we're ready to answer. If our children would ask us something of the Word of God, if they would ask us, what do I need to do to be saved? Do you say, well, let's go call the preacher. Let's call the pastor and see if he's got a little bit of time, and we'll go over and talk to him. Or do you say, go talk to your mother? Go talk to your grandmother. What answer do you have, or are you ready to open the Word of God and show them those many, many wonderful verses of Scripture that would bring that child to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he can be saved? I hope that you know how to do that. I hope that you take that responsibility, that work serious, and I hope that you follow through, because it'll be the greatest blessing you ever had. The greatest blessing is when we can teach someone the Word of God. I love teaching the Word of God, whether it be on the radio, whether it be in Sunday school class, whether it be at one of the Bible studies we have, preaching the message. I don't care when, I don't care where. I love talking about the Lord Jesus and sharing His Word. And so please that you do the same. And somebody, in particular your children, have a question for you, you carry that question, you take that question very seriously, and you take them into the Word of God and you show them the truth, the Word of God. It'll be the greatest day for you. It'll be the greatest day for your child, as you have taken them from death unto life. Now, we're looking at this unleavened bread. This is done. Show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. Been delivered from Egypt. And oh, to sit down with your children, your grandchildren, begin to tell that story, how, you know, this man named Moses showed up. I didn't think in my lifetime we'd be delivered. I just didn't. I trusted God. I trusted His Word. But the timing, I just didn't know. And here came this man named Moses, and he was a God-sent deliverer to deliver us out of the bondage of Egypt. And then Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And so Moses began to, by the power of God and the Word of God, begin to bring plagues upon this land. And there was one after another, and it just continued to destroy the land of Egypt. There was nothing left in the land of Egypt except the firstborn. and the gods of the firstborn that they worshipped couldn't protect the firstborn. And you see, many times in different lands, they give the firstborn as a sacrifice. Now, our God, He requires us to give to Him our best, our firstborn. But to the nation of Israel, it didn't mean to sacrifice that child to them, to their God. It meant to give 5 shekels of silver. When the firstborn male come, it was 5 shekels of silver is what was given him. Silver stands for the blood. It stands for atonement all through the Word of God. And so you see, to sacrifice that child, as many of the cults do today, many of the lands require that they put a child to death to appease their gods. Oh, that, you know, to sacrifice an animal, that's what God expected. And here we find that as we look through these words, that it is even given for the clean and the unclean animals of what to do. But let's continue here. To show thy son in that day. And then in verse 9, it shall be for a sign unto thee, unto thine hand, for a memorial between thy eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. This witness, this testimony, this what I have shown you, and each time that you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, each time you have the Feast of the Passover, please, that it will awaken you so that you can see, be remembered what I have done for you. You know, we have something very similar to that in the Lord's Supper. You know, a lot of people have really got it mixed up, and they said, you know, there's saving power in the Lord's Supper. That's a lie. The only thing it is, it's very clear. It says it's in remembrance of what has taken place. And what the remembrance is concerning His body and His blood. And that's the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And we celebrate it once a month. And when we do it, we don't do it every week. I'm afraid if you do it too often, it just becomes something that is not important. And we could do it every week, but I want it to be something that is so, so special. You can do it once a quarter, once a year, but the purpose of it is to remind us back to the cross of Calvary, of what happened there, what our God did for us. And this Passover here is to show them the same thing. Yes, the deliverance out of Egypt from slavery, but the greatest gift they had was the life of their firstborn, as all the firstborn in Egypt died. You remember that. You remember that. I've told you no leaven, I've taken you, and I've taken the sin out. Now, and what a beautiful picture. And that's what happens in our life as we step each and every day closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful day that we have to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord, to honor the Lord. Please, that we don't miss these remembrances. And the old heart, the old world gets a hold of us. And so we come together as a fellowship, and we recall, we remember that great day that I met Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people don't think they have to go to church. Well, God said, do not forsake the assembling. And we're to come together. We're to praise God and honor God. And here, and again in verse 9, it shall be for a sign unto thee, unto thine hand, for a memorial between thine eyes. Remember what you saw. Remember in your heart all that it was done. A strong hand of hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, as he swore unto thee, unto thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh from a beast which thou hast, and the males shall be the Lord's. Oh, what a promise here as it comes, and we look and find as the this child that's in the womb. Every time the Lord gives you the blessing of a child, and it specifically says the male children, that it be given unto the Lord, set apart unto the Lord, set apart. Okay, what a wonderful promise, what we should do with what God has given us. Every child we should give unto the Lord and ask Him to bless it and to use it. But He wants our first. He wants our first. He wants that which is best. Now please, please, my dear friend, when you come by faith to Jesus Christ, you'll become a child of God. Please today trust in Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?